for the blessings that we've enjoyed at this Jackson Conference. We're thankful for the Christians that meet in the Jackson Gospel Hall who have organized and put on this event. But most of all, we want to give thanks for the Word of God that has been taught and for all who have come to listen to the Scriptures being explained, and even for all who are here tonight now for this final message of the conference, this gospel message. We do appreciate that there is a good news in our world tonight, the good news that is found in Scripture about the Lord Jesus, the Savior. And we do give thanks for the great potential that someone could be in this meeting tonight and go home absolutely sure that they're going to be in heaven, that their sins have all been forgiven, that they're safe and saved forever. And so with this prospect and possibility, which depends upon the Lord Jesus and His work at the cross, we pray for help to speak of Him and to preach Christ and Him crucified tonight. As we give thanks now and commit ourselves into your care in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now the one verse that I would like to read with you is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm sorry, 5. 2 Corinthians 5, my mistake. 2 Corinthians 5, and we're going to read the last verse in the chapter. Second Corinthians 5, verse 21. Now, just if you look at the verse that ends right before that, the last word is God. Verse 21. For He, God, hath made Him to be sin for us. Now, this is talking about the Him in the verse. The one that God made to be sin for us is one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, I just want to narrow our focus tonight in this verse just to that first part. He hath made Him to be sin for us. God made Him to be sin for us. So now, who is doing something here in this verse? It's God. And what is He doing? It says He made Him to be sin for us. It doesn't say He will make Him sin for us, something that's going to happen in the future. It doesn't say He is making Him sin for us right now as we sit here in this auditorium. It says He already made. That's in the past. So we're looking in the past at something that God did. Now, there are people here tonight, this evening, and you're probably, maybe there's boys and girls or young people or a visitor here tonight, and you would like to know, what do I have to do to be able to go? What do I have to do? Well, you see, what we're doing tonight is we're not talking about what you have to do. We want to talk about what God did in the past. God made Him to be sin for us. Now, when it's talking about that, it's talking about the cross. And the Him is obviously the Lord Jesus, God's Son. God made the Lord Jesus sin for us. Now, that's talking about the cross. Maybe there's somebody here and you say, I already know all about the cross. I've heard it. I know all about the cross. But if I asked you, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? You'd probably drop your eyes, maybe your head, and you'd say no. You know what that means? That means that there's something about the cross you must not understand yet. You still don't understand it. Because if I took this microphone and I pulled it off this pulpit, don't worry, I won't do that. But if I pulled this off and I stretched the cord out, and I started over there with Paul, and I said, Paul, do you understand what it means? Oh, God made Him to be sin for us. Does that mean anything to you? He's already, did you see that? He smiled. He didn't even know he was going to smile. And if I went around to all the, now they're all smiling, all the Christians here are smiling. What is it about the cross that we've come to understand? And we want you to understand it tonight so you can go home with a smile and sure you're going to heaven. What happened at the cross? I don't want you to think now about men who hit the Lord Jesus with their hands or when they made a crown of thorns and then they took a stick and pounded it into his head or when they put nails through his hands and his feet. I want you to think about what this verse says happened at the cross. God made him to be sin for us. You see, God had a plan to make him sin. What does that mean that God made him to be sin? God couldn't make him a sin. That can't be what it means. And God didn't make him a sinner. Because if he was a sinner, he'd be just like you and he couldn't save us. So he didn't make him a sin and he didn't make him a sinner. So what does this mean? God made him to be sin. Well, it's kind of confusing language. But I think I like the way I came across this and it kind of sits well with me. Maybe it'll help you too. What it means is this. God treated him the way sin should be treated. God treated him, he wasn't sinner a sinner, but God treated him the way sin should be treated. Have you ever thought about the way your sin should be treated? If tonight the Lord were to walk through that door and he were to come up here and he called you up front and he said, I am here to treat your sin. What would he do? What should happen? What should he do if he was going to treat your sin the way it should be treated? You see, it's not a matter about, usually when we talk about sin, you know what most people say? As soon as you bring up the subject of sin, you know what they say? They think about, they automatically think about and talk about the sins they did not commit. You ever notice that? You say to somebody, you know, talk about sin. Well, they say, well, I've never killed. I've never sold drugs. I've never stolen. God is not going to focus on what you didn't do. God is focusing on what you have done and do and will do. You see, you're responsible for your sin. So forget about what you didn't do. Don't take any comfort in what you didn't do. Unless you should maybe thank God that you haven't done that yet. But what you should focus in on is this. What about your current, what about the debt of sin, the collection of sin? What about your sin tonight? You may be young, but what about, if God treated your sin tonight the way your sin should be treated, what would happen? Two things. Just so you know, there's going to be a day when God is going to treat sin. And what will happen then? Two things. Number one, separation. Get out, get away from me, separation. That's the way the Bible started, didn't it? There was a man and a woman, and when they sinned, what did God say? Out! Get out! In fact, he didn't just say get out, he actually took them there and he threw them out. Because sin cannot be with God and sin deserves separation. That's actually what that verse often quoted. The wages of sin is death. That what sin deserves is to be separated away from God. And men and women, young people will find that awful reality someday. And maybe not that far off to suddenly realize Ah, because of my sin, I'm separated from God, and I will be separated from God forever. And when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, what happened? All of a sudden, one word started to come out of his mouth. What did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far off? Why was God separating from him? Because God was treating him the way sin should be treated. Number two, the Bible says that sin is the infraction of the law, breaking God's law. So for sin, there should not only be separation, there should be suffering, punishment. Have you thought today, if the Lord came through the door and he came up here and he said, I'm going to treat your sin now, I'm going to deal with it. You would be hurled out of his presence, but then you would receive the punishment of the suffering for your sins. Because you've broken God's law. You know that. And here you sit tonight, and there is a day coming when he's going to treat sin. And the Bible says that books will be open and everyone will be judged according to his works. And the Bible says they will be cast, separated. But where are they going to be cast? Thrown into a lake of fire. Suffering. Why will people suffer and be separated from God forever, according to the Bible? Because of their sin. Why are you in danger tonight of being separated from God forever and suffering forever in a place the Bible calls the lake of fire? It's because of your sin. And I remember the night that I sat in a building like the Jackson Gospel Hall, but in Livonia, Michigan. And there was one thing going through my mind, and that was this. I realized that night, it's not just what God could do with me. It's what God should do with me because of my sin. And it made me very uncomfortable. Sad and scared at the same time to think that if he treated my sin tonight the way he should, what my sin deserves, I should be separated and suffering forever. So God has a plan. And his plan is to save souls like yours from separation and suffering. And so at the cross, he experienced God separated, forsaken, abandoned. But the Bible also tells us something that nobody could actually see with their eyes. But on that cross, the Lord Jesus suffered the very punishment from God, the punishment of our peace was upon him. It all descended on the Lord Jesus. And God was treating him the way sin deserves to be treated. I know you're respectful tonight, but is there not somebody here and you want to just shout out? No! He didn't deserve it! I'm the one who should have been there! It's my sin! That's the plan of God, so you didn't have to be. And you won't have to be. Because remember, it's in the past. God's plan is to save souls like you. God already, He made Him to be sin for us. Notice the power of this. Sounds so simple, God made. Remember Moses made a brass serpent? Remember that story? So what did Moses do? Well, he had studied in Egypt, and so maybe he knew how to do metallurgy, and he put all of his mind and all of his abilities and all of his resources, and he came out with a brass snake. God did better than that. Remember what the Bible says about creation? It says all things were made by Him. What does that mean? Can you sense the power of it? The God, the infinite resource, with all of His mind and all of His plans and all of His power, and God, all things were made by Him. And now the Lord Jesus is on the cross, and God says, I want to save sinners like that girl. I want to save sinners like that man. So God, with all of His wisdom and all of His capability, God is the great resource, and God with all of His power, God made Him to be sin for us. What will it be like in a future day if God, with all His power, deals with your sin? How awful was the cross? Not because, just because of thorns. I don't want to take anything away from thorns and nails and whips and fists that hit Him. But the worst part of it all was when the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. God made, and He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment of our peace was upon Him, because God made Him to be sin for us. The power. Just another minute to think about His precision. It doesn't say God made her. It doesn't say God made them. It says God made Him. You know what that means? In the Old Testament, they had some pieces of furniture they had to carry around. And those pieces of furniture had rings on the side of them, hanging off the side. And then they had poles. And they put the poles through all the rings. You can picture all these poles, and the poles are sticking out long. And then there was this whole group of men. And they would come along, and everybody put their shoulder in it, and a one, and a two, and a three, and up we go. And then we start marching, and they're all walking across the desert. And if they were young and strong like Paul, they'd go along a lot. And if they were a little more experienced in life and maybe not quite so strong like me, all of a sudden I would get tired. And so maybe I would start to slip out, and then maybe somebody else like David would come along, and he'd put his shoulder in there, and then they'd keep carrying all that. You see, that way they could distribute it all out among a lot of different people, and it wouldn't seem so bad, so heavy. When God was going to treat sin, He would not distribute it out among a lot of people so it wouldn't be so bad. Think about your sin at this moment, please. God made Him and Him alone. Alone, alone, He bore it all alone. God made Him to be sin for us. Last of all, the provision. I hope this will help you tonight. What if this verse said God made Him to be sin for him or for her? That'd be one person. And we'd all gather around. We'd have to look at her and go, that's amazing. Look, there she is. She's saved. And she's saved because God made His Son. He treated His Son the way sin should be treated. And she's now saved through him. It's for her. God made him to be sin for her. Or what if it was them? All the Jews. Or all the Mexicans. We'd all stand here, all of us Americans, and we go, wow, that's an amazing thing that God has done. Paul's writing, he's a Christian. He's writing to other Christians. Every Christian here loves this. We get together and it's like we're all together. We look at the cross and what do we say? How we get it. We don't all fully understand it, but we get it, don't we? God made him to be sin for us. But you know, it's kind of like we're standing under an umbrella and there's a storm coming. And God's saying to you, come on in. There's room in here for you too. Room in this us for you. That's not good grammar, but you understand what I mean? There's room for you in an us. Come on in. Isn't that what we were singing at the very beginning of the meeting? I hope you could understand this tonight, the value of what happened at that cross, and that it would be so impressive to your heart that you would understand, I don't need anything else. I just needed God to make him to be sin. And I can tell you what I can say, God made him to be sin for me. That saves my soul. What do we sing? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It's enough. What else do you need? God made him to be sin for. I hope you'll come into the good of it tonight and be able to go home personally relying on what happened at the cross and the man who took it all, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God made sin for us. Cling to him. Rely on him. And you can have safety and peace and assurance that God will not treat your sin in the future, not treat you about your sin. It's so wonderful to look at the cross and say, it's all for me. I'm saved. Because God made him to be sin for us. Cling to him, trust him, and you too can be saved tonight. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful.